You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Damon Wayans is an actor, comedian, producer, and writer who came to prominence with In Living Color, the TV show that got him nominated for 4 Emmy Awards. And then there was the hit ABC series, My Wife and Kids, which he both produced and starred in. He's also appeared in many films, including Earth Girls Are Easy, Beverly Hills Cop, and I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Now he's written a novel called Red Hats. It's published by Atria, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hi.
Thank you, Lynn. Nice to be here.
Well, you've worn so many hats over the course of your career. In fact, you were wearing a hat when you came in here, but not a red hat. What made you want to add novels to the list of your accomplishments?
Boredom.
Really?
You know, yeah.
So you were between projects?
I did a show with ABC, and it's kind of like you have to have a window so that, you know, if you do another show, they don't think you're doing your old show.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So I kind of had this 5-year break, and I was just wondering what I'm going to do as an artist. And so I've been writing for a long time. And I said, you know what? Maybe it's time to try and challenge myself and write a novel.
Well, this is your second book. The first one did make the New York Times bestseller list, but that wasn't a novel.
That was just stand-up. That was like me, and I knew it would work. It's less of a challenge because I worked the material out in the comedy club, and I kind of wrote it down. With this one, you never know until someone tells you, hey, I liked a book. And I didn't let anybody in my family read it except Kim, because I knew if she liked it, then it's good.
Kim, who we all remember so fondly from In Living Color.
Yeah.
Were you thinking of it as a possible film or a TV sitcom?
I don't know if a sitcom, because it's a drama. But
No, but there's a lot of funny stuff in here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I think it would be a great series. Unfortunately, you know, it seems like there are no shows on television for, you know, elderly people. Not so much even elderly.
Not since Golden Girls.
Not since Golden Girls, or, you know, maybe Murder, She Wrote was the last vehicle that starred someone, you know, over 50.
Although in the case of Murder, She Wrote, wherever Angela Lansbury turned up, you knew somebody was going to die.
Right.
In this case, Alma, well, there is a death, but she's a 64-year-old woman who's recently been widowed and is estranged from her children. How would you describe her?
She's a woman who is walking around with a lot of guilt. You know, when her husband dies, she feels it's her fault.
She says to herself, I hope you die in your sleep, old man.
Yeah, and he does. But she didn't really mean that. She just was in the moment. You know when kids get mad and they go, I hate you? They hate you in that moment, but the next minute they're playing with you. And that's how she expressed that, I hope you die. It's just anger.
Well, she does have a lot of anger, and it comes out in her pride and her honesty, which often sounds a lot more like rudeness. There was a recurring character like Alma on In Living Color. Did you know somebody like that when you were growing up?
She's a combination of many wonderful, strong women that I know in my life. You know, my mom, my aunts, my grandmother. I grew up around a lot of very opinionated women, and I have 5 sisters.
Well, it's hard for her to be lovable, but on the other hand, you've made her you've made her human here.
Right.
Because you were able to get into her head?
Well, I was able to get into her head, and I was also able to strip her of her whole belief system. You know, it's like to see a character really evolve, you have to see them at their worst and then grow into their best. And I think that this journey for her was one of self-discovery and forgiveness. You know, the trick in life is to forgive yourself.
Yeah. Well, she tries to commit suicide after her husband dies, and she's saved by a group of women who are members of the Red Hat Society. What happens there?
Well, the Red Hats is like this global organization. It's the largest global social organization in the world.
This is a real group.
It's a real group of ladies, and my mom is actually a Red Hat. And it's really interesting because their commitment to life, fitness, and fun, you know, is their what do you call it? Their
what's credo, motto.
The mission statement. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and you know what happens after you raise 10 children and you sacrifice all your time and your energy, it's hard to really have relationships with friends and things like that because you have other, you know, more important responsibilities.
Now, the women you're most likely to see wearing hats in New York City are African-American women, but we're not this is a group that has –
it's multi-ethnic.
It's global.
It's global, and it was started by a white woman, Sue Ellen Cooper, in 1979.
Well, Alma is suspicious of everyone, including people who try to help her, and these people try to help her, and she reads bad intentions.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to have to open up. You know, she doesn't want to have to reveal her ugly truth. And, you know, it's people who are isolated are self-destructive. And they write stories in their head about other people so they don't have to really deal with themselves. And that's what Alma is facing. And when she meets these women that she sees truly care about her, she starts to open up and free herself.
Alma is pretty upfront about her dislike of her son's wife. Other than her, Helga, who's white, the subject of race is barely touched upon in this novel. Is that deliberate?
Well, race is touched upon in the novel.
Well, when she calls 9/11, she says, "There's a white lady getting beat up in my building by some young black boys," assuming that that's going to get her more attention.
And it does. And, you know, that's a trick in the ghettos that we do to get some attention, you know, from the police and fire department.
But you say that there's more about race here. It seemed to me that it was very much about...
No, it's not more about race. Yeah. I said we do deal with race in there. You know, it's like part of stripping her of her belief system is, you know, she's mad at her son because he married a white woman.
She feels betrayed.
She feels betrayed. Just like, you know, it's like, I raised you. What did I do wrong that you went out and found a white woman? Find someone like me.
Now, there are many people who complain when something like that is called racism, but if it isn't racism, is it
ignorance?
Can we call it race consciousness?
I think it's ignorance. It's, you know, we are all so afraid of, you know, other people, and it's ignorance that makes us afraid because we have more in common than we have, you know what I'm trying to say. We have a lot in common as human beings. We all think, we all, you know, need love, want love, and need friends and family.
She calls her grandchildren mutts. So it's pretty angry. Damon Wayans written a novel called Red Hats, and it's published by Atria. And you deal with some pretty serious issues in this book: attempted suicide, adultery, drug addiction. Not the sorts of things that somebody we think of as a funny man wanting to touch. But doesn't much of your humor grow out of being politically incorrect? So many of those characters that we saw in Living Color would say things that were absolutely outrageous.
Well, I think Alma says things that are absolutely outrageous, and it's her truth. You know, that's the interesting thing that makes a character three-dimensional is their truth. You don't have to really agree with it, but that's their truth. And that's what makes them unique and funny.
Is this something that you and your brother Keenan Ivory Wayans developed when you were kids? Because I think of some of those memorable characters in Living Color, like the Wiz Homie, the thief who runs Homeboy Shopping Network. Blaine Edwards, the gay film critic, there was always something politically incorrect about him.
Well, Keenan and I used to walk around the streets of New York all day long in character as Blaine Edwards, or we'd do, you know, Wiz, you know, these guys. We'd walk around like that.
I mean, before you did the show?
Just like when we in the 70s, and, you know, when we were just growing up, that's how we entertained ourselves. We'd just... be in character all day long.
And what happened when people overheard you?
It'd be funny.
They interact with you as those characters?
I would like walk up to guys and slap their face and go, you bitch, where were you last night? And then just run off crying and just leave them holding their cheek going, what the heck was that? But this is how we would make each other laugh, and the dare was to see who could go the furthest, you know.
And you grew up in New York in a very large family, judging from all of the Waynes who we've seen over the years in Living Color and other shows. But almost all of you now have left the city.
Yeah, we all. Well, you know, the funny thing is when I come back to New York, I always feel like I'm home. And I walk the streets a lot. As soon as I get into the city, I tell the driver, pull over, I need to walk. And that's what you don't do in California. California, you drive everywhere. You drive to get your mail. And so, you know, leaving New York and moving to California is only because of work. You feel like out of sight, out of mind. But we all are restless in California and New York. Everybody feels like we're home.
But you do a lot of driving, so, and you can't, you know, you can't do a lot of driving in New York.
No.
You've said that during your childhood, you'd always hear white guys say, I'm going to Europe to find myself. So you went to Europe to find yourself?
Yeah, and I found myself away from black people. So now,
but then you bumped into Lionel
yeah,
Richie.
I bumped into Lionel Richie in a restaurant.
Was he well known then?
This is recently. Oh. This is about 2 years. This is before I wrote Red Hats. And Lionel was like telling me, because I was talking about being an artist and how I'm stuck. And he goes, man, you know, you're thinking too much. He said, life is, you know, as an artist is very simple. And he took me to see Vida Dantes. And he's like, you got to see her. She's amazing.
This is a burlesque artist.
Yeah. And we go to this show. The place is packed. And when she comes out on stage, the crowd is going insane. And she does a strip tease down to some pasties in a little G-string, and she gets on this apparatus, spins around, and water, you know, kind of drenches her. She gets up and walks off, and Lionel turns to me and goes, you see? It's simple. She gave them what they wanted. And I went, wow, it made a real impact on me as an artist because I was trying to think, what next, what next, what next? And what next turned out to be something simple, a story about a woman, something that I care about.
Mm. Well, although you don't know whether people want it until the book is out for sale, and they either do or don't. But it must have been a lot of fun to write.
It was great fun to write because I had to like get into the mindset of, you know, a woman, which is really hard. But I went through a midlife crisis recently, and that helped me. It is very therapeutic because a midlife crisis, I start to deal with emotions, you know, like regrets over my divorce and my relationship with my kids and wanting to fix everything, you know, because I'm at that point in my life where, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I'm no longer invincible.
Same sort of thing that you put Alma through here. She right. goes through a crisis and has to change her life. You are also an accomplished mimic, but I don't know whether you were thinking of being a mimic when you were creating Alma, because actors often tell me, or writers tell me, that it's very similar to acting.
Yeah, you got to
get into a character.
You have to hear the voice in your head, you know? You have to hear the rhythm and the cadence, because, you know, a well-written character, you can read it, you know, and the words will jump off the page. You know, there's certain words that only Homie the Clown can say. You know, have a nice day cannot come out of Homie's mouth.
Or if it did, it would be so mean.
Right.
So when you're doing somebody like Richard Pryor or Little Richard or Louis Farrakhan, you really hear them in the back of your head?
Oh, yes.
Do you become the character?
Oh, yes. To hear Louis Farrakhan and to speak like Louis Farrakhan, you must believe, you understand, that you are the minister.
Would it be better if you'd put on a bow tie?
Yeah, well, that's on camera. On radio, it wouldn't make a difference.
Just one more thing. You worked with a lot of members of your family over the years, and some people find it hard to work with members of their family.
The thing about having family, and I don't always work with my family, but I have worked with them, and it's the best times that you'll have as you know, in terms of work, because you know each other. You don't have to worry about the chemistry and, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get along with this other actor, you know, or if this director really knows how to pull a performance out of me. Kenan knows me like the back of his hand, so he can say, you know, you got to go over here, and when you're thinking about talking to the girl, you got to think about Lisa, because that's what it is. Is this woman that you love? And he can talk to me with shorthand, you know? That's my Keenan impression.
I got it, and I loved it. Damon Wayans written a novel called Red Hats, based on a real organization, and with people that you will recognize. The book is published by Atria, and I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope we see you on TV again soon.
I hope so, and I hope people come out to my book signing.
And we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He blew the surprise, but Damon Wayans will be giving a reading and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at Book Review. That's at 313 New York Avenue in Huntington, Long Island.